Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. Remember, Proverbs 14, verse 12 reads this way. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I think many religious people, many so-called believers in Christ, at least they think of themselves that way, they go by what seems right to them, instead of by actually what does the Bible say. So if you show them something, for example, in the Bible, that clearly teaches a particular thing, if it goes against what they think ought to be, then they're not likely at all to accept it. Because they haven't determined in their heart they're going to accept what God says. They have Ezra 7:10, they haven't prepared the heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. They're going mainly by what they think is right or what their preacher thinks is right. But there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, spiritual death. This comes into play very heavily when you're talking about perhaps the most important question that is answered by the Bible. What must I do to be saved? Acts 16, verse 30. Several years ago, I decided to search the whole New Testament and write down everything a person is told to do in order to become a Christian. And what we're going to talk about tonight is the result of that study. Now, if you find another condition that must be met in order to be saved from alien sins, in other words, in order to become a Christian, to be born again, you let me know so I can add it to this list. What does a person have to do to become a Christian, to be saved initially? I'm not talking about things that a person might need to do, like partake of the Lord's Supper, things like that, after he becomes a Christian. What does he have to do to become a Christian? First thing I find would be in a passage like John 5:24. A person has to hear God's word. Here's that. Jesus said in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." According to that, you have to hear Jesus' word. You have to hear the word of God in order to pass from death unto life, to be a Christian. You have to do that. Also in that same verse, it says you have to believe on him that sent me. Now, of course, we're going to learn in a minute what you already know if you're listening, that you have to believe in Jesus to be saved. This is not talking about believing in Jesus here. This says you got to believe on him that sent me. And this is Jesus speaking. So he's talking about believing on God the Father who sent him. That's condition number two that you have to meet in order to become a Christian. You have to believe in God the Father. First, you have to hear God's word. Then you have to believe in God the Father. It only makes sense because if you've never heard the word of God, you wouldn't know there is a God to believe in. And then let's go to Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, 6 reads this way. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him," talking about God, "for he that cometh to God must believe that he is," that's God, "and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You not only have to believe in God, you have to believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I know a lot of people that believe in God, but that don't believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. They think God's going to reward anybody who believes in Christ. Anybody who quotes accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, for example. And it doesn't matter whether or not you diligently seek him. But this verse says you must, not only implying that you must diligently seek him, you must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. To become a Christian, you got to believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you don't believe that, you haven't believed the right thing. And if you really believe that, you will diligently seek him. If you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open. Give us a call at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Now let's go to the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." According to that, to be saved, Jesus died for everybody, the whole world. The Calvinists are not right that he only died for some. He loved the whole world. Jesus died for all of them, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever, because everybody's been died for by Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in him, talking about Christ. So not only do you have to hear the word of God, not only do you have to believe in God the Father, not only do you have to believe that God is the rewarder of them diligently seek him, the fourth condition that's absolutely necessary to salvation is you got to believe in Jesus. Got to believe in Jesus. Now this rules out people like the Jews and Muslims. They believe in God the Father. They believe in the God of Abraham, the Jews and Muslims, but they don't believe in Jesus. A lot of people, you know, don't believe in God the Father, like atheists and Buddhists, so they're not going to be saved. A lot of people who do believe in God don't believe God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. They just think they can just get by with living the way they want to. And then there's a lot of people that believe in the God of Abraham, God the Father, but they don't believe in Jesus like the Jews or Muslims, and they're not going to be saved, according to John 3:16. And we've given quotes from Billy Graham, and we can provide them if necessary, where he said people like Jews and Muslims can be saved without believing in Jesus as long as they're sincere and faithful to their religion. But this verse, John 3:16, rules that out. A lot of preachers teach that. You can be saved without believing in Jesus as long as you're sincere in the religion you're in. But John 3:16 says you got to believe in Jesus. Just being a faithful Jew or Muslim who believes in God, the God of Abraham, that's not good enough. Not only do you have to believe in Jesus, you actually have to believe in the resurrection of Christ. Let me read Romans 10, 9 and 10 to prove that. You have to believe that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Here's Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Did you see that? You have to believe in that heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. You have to believe that. And you say, well, doesn't everybody believe that? No, there's presidents of theological seminaries that believe Jesus existed, but they don't believe miracles ever occurred. They don't believe Jesus was resurrected. They claim to be Christians. They're, quote, believers in Christ, and they believe that Jesus existed. They say they're Christians, and they teach at seminaries, but they don't believe in the resurrection of Christ. They don't believe any miracle occurred. According to this, they're not going to be saved, even though they claim to be a follower of Christ, even though they claim to be a Christian. They don't believe in the miracles. They don't believe in the resurrection of Christ. And Romans 10, 9 and 10 says you got to believe to be saved. You have to believe in the resurrection of Christ. You have to believe that occurred. That's fantastic to some people. But to those who really believe the Bible, it's not fantastic. It's just what the Bible teaches. Jesus was resurrected from the dead. As a matter of fact, without the resurrection, the gospel would be toothless. Would be toothless without the resurrection of Christ. You have to believe in the resurrection of Christ to be saved. Now, next condition. They were talking about the conditions of salvation. The conditions are things that we have to do to be saved. Jesus took care of paying for our sins. He did the hard part. He died for our sins. He died for the remission of our sins. He died that our sins might be washed away. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. He shed his blood for the remission of our sins. Matthew 26, 28. He's taking care of the hard part, but that salvation is conditional. We learned that from John 3:16 just a while ago, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus died for the whole world in John, according to John 3:16, but we have to believe to take advantage of that. We have to not only believe in Jesus, we have to believe in his resurrection. And in order to be saved, we have to love Jesus. We have to love God. Let's look at some passages that prove that. Let's turn first to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22. If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or comment. 1 Corinthians 16:22 says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema or accursed, Maranatha. In other words, even if we were to believe in Jesus, if we do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're going to be accursed. We're going to be accursed. Galatians 5:6 says the same thing in different words. It puts it this way. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. The Old Testament doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter if you get circumcised or if you don't circumcise. It doesn't avail. But faith which worketh by love. That's what avails. A lot of people say, a lot of churches say, saved at the point of faith, by faith only. The Methodist Church, their creed book says that justification by faith only is the most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort. But this says the thing that will avail, we're talking about salvation in this context, is faith which worketh by love. Faith has to work or it will not avail. And it has to be motivated by love. If it's possible to have faith and work, but do it for the wrong reason, not do it out of love, then you're not going to be saved. It has to be faith which worketh by love. You have to love God. You have to love Jesus in order to be saved, in order to become a Christian. I'm reading now from James chapter 1, verse 12. If you have time, turn in your Bibles and read this. James 1, 12 says, "Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." The only ones that are going to receive the crown of life are those that love the Lord. If you have a Bible question or comment on this or any other Bible topic, 877-655-6755 is the number to call. 877-655-6755. How about Matthew chapter 10, verse 37? Matthew 10:37 is a call to commitment. Jesus says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Now, I would say that teaches you got to love Jesus to be saved. Because if you don't love Jesus, how could you say that you love him more than your father and mother if you don't love him at all? And this says if you don't love Jesus more than family, you're not worthy of him. So not only do you have to love Jesus to be saved, you got to love him even more than your family. And then lastly, if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 14. Here's verse 21. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." It says, "He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father," which implies that if we don't love Jesus, we won't be loved of the Father. And this is talking about being loved in the sense of being given salvation. Same thing in verse 23, Jesus said, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." The Father's only going to love those who love Jesus and keep his words, which means if you don't love Jesus, the Father won't love you in the sense that he won't give you salvation. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. We read Romans 10 a while ago. Let's go back to Romans 10, 9 and 10 and show that you have to confess Christ in order to be saved. Here's Romans 10, 9 and 10. We used it a while ago to show you got to believe in the resurrection of Christ. It also teaches you got to confess Christ. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So not only do you have to believe in Jesus, believe in his resurrection, but you have to confess Christ in order to be saved. And this is talking about initial salvation here. Of course, after we become a Christian, we have to confess Christ regularly. Even with our life, we have to confess him. This is talking about confessing him with the mouth. And we have an example of this kind of confession, confessing Christ. In Acts 8, you remember the Ethiopian eunuch. In verse 35, Philip's preaching Jesus to the eunuch, Acts 8, 35. 36 shows that preaching Jesus includes baptism because the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip says in verse 37, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's an example of the confession we're talking about that's required by Romans 10, 9 and 10. We're not talking about a formula. It doesn't have to necessarily be these exact words, word for word, of course, because this is English anyway. And some of the translations differ. We don't have to say it the way the eunuch said it in Greek or Hebrew, whichever way he said it. But we have to acknowledge with our mouth that Jesus is the Lord. He's the Son of God. And this is the confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's required by Romans 10, 9 and 10. And this is an example of confession. You have to do this in order to be saved, in order to become a Christian. Gary from Mississippi, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hey, Brother Patrick, how you doing this evening? Listen, right quickly, there is a popular evangelist on the scene right now who's part of the so-called oneness, Jesus only movement, and they pretty much say that the Trinity is not there's no such thing as a Trinity, that it's only, you know, Jesus and so forth and so on. Would you say that these people are out of order?
Yes. Yes, and we would, if you know of any of those people that, including that famous guy, I think I know who you're talking about, if you could get him to have a debate, we'd be willing to debate the questions, issues that the oneness bring up.
I would love for you and he to debate. Now, you called Billy Graham's name. I called his name. His name is Geno Jennings. You didn't call his name. Yeah, I called his name.
I know about Geno. A number of people I've studied with over the last few years have brought him up to me, especially recently. He's become very popular. Mm-hmm. I've actually tried to write him and ask him for a debate, but he never did respond. I can't be for sure that, you know, he got my emails, got my messages, because he never responded, but I'm willing, and I have a friend who debates with me sometimes that we could debate the, whether or not there's three or one person in the Godhead. We could debate the baptismal formula question. You know what I mean by that, Gary? Do you have to say any certain words when you baptize somebody? We could debate whether or not the miraculous gifts are for today. We could debate women preachers. We'd be happy to debate Mr. Jennings. Mm-hmm. If you could help us arrange that, we would be glad to do it.
I certainly wish I had the wherewithal and knew how to facilitate that. But let me ask you something else. Do you believe that all errant, be it deliberate, inadvertent, would land a person's soul in hell if they are off on their theology just by mistake or ignorance or whatever? You believe that will ultimately land a person in hell as long as they agree on the fact that Jesus Christ is the only way to God the Father. He's the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, if you adhere to that and get baptized and so forth and so on, but you might be in error so far as listening to a woman preacher or whatever. I'll hang up. I know someone else probably want a shot at this tonight also.
Gary, let me read you this verse before you hang up and tell me what you think. Now, this is not the only verse. There's a lot of verses I could read to answer your question, but here's the first one that came to mind. 2 John 9 says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. The doctrine simply means the teaching of Christ. If we don't abide in that, we don't have God. Mm-hmm. Gary, can we be saved if we don't have God?
I think if we deliberately do not obey the doctrine of Christ, we cannot. I mean, if a person is just in ignorance and then, you know, before we all accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we walked in darkness. We, you know, the title said that the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying worldly lust and ungodliness and so forth and so on. So what I'm saying, if a person is sincerely in error and then they recognize the error of their ways and repent and walk differently, you know, after that.
I definitely think if they repent, they can be forgiven. But answer my question. I understand what you're saying, but this says if you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. The question I have for you is, can you be saved if you don't have God?
No, you cannot.
Yeah, because you agree with me, the only way we're going to be saved is through the grace and mercy of God. So that's my answer to your question, is to have God, to be saved, you have to abide in the teaching of Christ. And Mr. Jennings and people like him are not abiding in the teaching of Christ.
Absolutely.
So they don't have God, they're not
going
to be saved.
I agree with that.
Appreciate your call, Gary. If you can,
yes, sir.
I'm willing to come down to Mississippi and do a debate on this or any other Bible topic. that's important. I'm talking about as long as there's a good opportunity. I don't, you know, since I'm in Alabama, it's not that far. So if you can work up a debate, I'm willing to come. Okay?
I tell you, I would love to hear you and Brother Gino. I really would. Thank you, now.
Thank you, Gary. Let me mention that about to the whole listening audience. This is what I do. Besides do this radio program, I do public religious debates. So questions like, do you have to be baptized to be saved, or once saved, always saved, or women preachers, or gay marriage, or divorce and remarriage, you know, these issues I publicly debate. And we're not talking about a wrangle, just an argument with a lot of strife. We're talking about timed speeches where nobody can interrupt each other, a friendly debate where both sides can be fairly heard. It's just a great way of doing Bible study. If there's something that you disagree with me on, perhaps we can work out a public debate on it where both sides can be heard by somebody who believes something different than me. Let them defend it. I'll defend what I'm willing to defend what I believe, or wouldn't preach it. I wouldn't preach it if I weren't willing to defend it in debate, like Jesus and Paul were willing to defend what they said. I mean, if you really boils down to it, depending on what translation you look at, there's about 12 or 15 verses in the book of Acts where you have examples of Paul or Stephen or somebody like that, Christians, disciples, debating the scriptures. It depends on what translation you're using, but I think it's 10 or 12 of them at least. But most people are not willing to do it because they don't believe, deep down, they don't really believe they can defend what they believe. So they're willing to preach it, but not defend it in debate. It doesn't necessarily prove that you're right, the fact that you're willing to defend and debate what you believe. That doesn't necessarily prove that you're right. But when you're not willing to defend it, that proves you're not, you think you might be wrong. You're not sure that you're right. John 3, 19 through 21. Not only do we have to hear the word of God, believe in God, believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, believe in Jesus, believe in Jesus' resurrection, love Jesus, confess Christ to be saved. We have to repent of our sins to be saved. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In Acts 2:38, Peter told believers, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those two passages and a host of others show to become a Christian, to be saved initially, you got to repent of your sins. You got to change your life in regard to sin. You commit to doing that. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. Not just be baptized for the remission of sins. Yes, when you're baptized, you get the forgiveness of all your sins, according to Acts 2:38 and other passages. But you have to repent, or it's just getting wet. Also, to be forgiven of your sins, initially or any time, this is an absolute. You have to be willing to forgive others their sins against you. I'm reading here from Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. Toward the end of what we call the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, it's an explanation after the Lord's Prayer. He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So even when you're becoming a Christian, Acts 2:38, or later after you're a Christian and you sin, Acts 8:22 says in that case you have to repent to be forgiven. Anytime you want forgiveness of sins, you have to be willing to forgive others of their sins against you, or God's not going to forgive you. That's an absolute. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You have to do that. Be willing to forgive others to be forgiven yourselves. And then the last thing on my list that you have to do in order to become a Christian to be saved is you have to be baptized for the remission of sins. I already quoted Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That shows you got to be baptized to be saved. Ananias told Saul of Tarsus in Acts 22:16, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The blood of Christ washes away our sins, Revelation 1:5, but not until we're baptized. It's not when we believe. Saul had already believed on the road to Damascus. 3 days later, he's told to be baptized to get his sins washed away. Galatians 3:26 and 27 teaches you got to be baptized. You're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. In 1 Peter 3:21, baptism doth also now save us. I don't think God would tell us baptism saves us. You didn't have to be baptized to be saved. These are all things you have to do in order to be saved from your sins and become a Christian. If you'd like to have a free one-hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, call or text me at 256-682-9753.